I'll be reading Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25, and also from the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, verses 12 through 15. The Lord commanded us to follow all these statutes and to fear the Lord our God for our prosperity always and for our preservation. As it is today, righteousness will be ours if we are careful to follow every one of these commands before the Lord our God, as he has commanded us. And from Deuteronomy 7, verses 12 through 15. If you listen to and are careful to keep these ordinances, the Lord your God will keep his covenant loyalty with you, as he swore to your fathers. He will love you, bless you, and multiply you. He will bless your descendants and the produce of your land, your grain, new wine and oil, the young of your herds, and the newborn of your flocks, in the land he swore to your fathers that he would give you. You will be blessed above all peoples. There will be no infertile male or female among you or your livestock. The Lord will remove all sickness from you. And may God bless this reading of his word.
Now, my wife just wrote a little note to me here. Well, this week we were watching Tucker Carlson. Any of you ever see that? He's on at 8 p.m. on Fox News. And on this particular night, he was interviewing a psychologist from Canada. And it was this psychologist was brilliant and right on point. And Tucker Carlson was asking him about the behavior of, well, I would guess the millennials, pursuant to the Florida school shooting. And Tucker Carlson asked him this question. He says, what happened to them to make them this way? And the psychologist talked about social media, talked about the use of smartphones by this generation, the fact that they are unable to communicate, and their social skills are so poor, they don't develop relationships. They live in a parallel universe, really. They live in a universe that has been confabulated by the world through this internet system. And he summed it up and he said, this generation, you know, Tucker, to answer your question, what happened to them? He says, they have no purpose. They don't know why they're here. They don't know what they're doing. And their parents have never taught them this. Their parents have not given them purpose. And so they lose all perspective and sight of what life is supposed to be. And it comes out in all kinds of aberrant behavior. So what happened to them? We're going to answer the third question today of our series on this love, our love of God, and try and ferret that out. The first question that we asked was, how do we get this love for God? How do we get it? And we found out that it is a gift of God from the Holy Spirit. Our love of God is a gift from God, actually, from the Holy Spirit following our repentance. And then the second question we asked was, well, how do you know you have it? How do you know you have this love of God that is all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength? And the answer to that question was, well, you notice something about yourself. You notice something. And what you notice, what we notice is that our love for God please perk up your ears here, and I'll tell you, this is salvific. If you don't notice this about yourself, it's a red flag. And what we notice about ourselves is that our love for God perseveres no matter what, no matter what the circumstances. Remember, Paul said, tribulation, remember those? Perseverance gives you proof that you do have this, and then it gives you hope. It confirms your hope in that you're going to inherit God's glory. Well, what about our purpose? Here's the question today we're going to answer. What does God use our love of Him for? Our love of Him. What is the purpose that God has attached to that? And you know, it must have a tremendous purpose, because throughout Scripture, this is talked about over and over and over again. Yes, God's love for us is talked about, but the converse of that, or the reflex of that, the rebound is our love back to Him. To God is vital. To God is important. To God is everything. And so we have to wonder, what is the purpose? Why does God put such a value on that? The answer to that is two words: prosperity and preservation. With this caveat, prosperity and preservation as defined by God. And it is God's, the purpose of our love for God is the prosperity and preservation of that which He made: humanity, supremely, and secondly, His good creation. Armed with this love of and for God, those two things will occur in God's universe. Teresa just read Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25, and Deuteronomy 7, 12 to 15. Well, Tim, what are you doing in Deuteronomy? I mean, it's not exactly a hot button book, right? Well, I would argue that. I would say it's a very hot button book. And it is very, very applicable to our lives today. And in those verses, God says, through Moses, the Lord commanded us to follow all these statutes and to fear the Lord. And I think that one is on the back of your devotional. I think I did get that one right. I think it's on there, isn't it? Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25? Okay. He says, I'm commanding you to follow these and to fear God. Why? Look at those two. For our prosperity always, and for our preservation. Prosperity and preservation. Then we look down at Deuteronomy 7, 12 to 15, which Teresa read to us. If you listen to and are careful to keep these ordinances, the Lord your God will keep His covenant loyalty with you as He swore to your fathers. Well, what's the covenant loyalty that He's going to keep if we keep His ordinances and His commands? He will do the following. He'll love you, He'll bless you, He'll multiply you. He'll love you, He'll bless you, He'll multiply you. He will bless your descendants. He'll bless the produce of your land, your grain, new wine, and oil, the young of your herds, and the newborn of your flocks, in the land He swore to your fathers that He would give you. You will be blessed above all peoples. There will be no infertile male or female among you or your livestock. And he ends with this: the Lord will remove all sickness from you. God is saying to His people, I will take your obedience and I will take your love for me, and somehow, some way, I will use it to do this. I take your love and your obedience, you bring that to me, and I will give this to you. But the passage makes it clear that God somehow uses that. He needs that. He takes it and He transfers it into prosperity and preservation. Deuteronomy 6, also in the middle of your devotional. Deuteronomy 6, 1-6. I hope that I can do this clearly. I'm pausing right now. I hope I can do this clearly and methodically, and that the Spirit will get this dropped into your hearts today. That's my prayer. Deuteronomy 6, 1-6. Understand the backdrop of this passage. Deuteronomy is called the second law. That's what it means. Deuteronomy means second law. And the first law was given at Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, in Exodus chapter 19. That's when the commandments were given to these people. Now, 40 years have transpired between that and what we're reading here today. You understand? When we read Deuteronomy, we're reading 40 years after the Mount Horeb experience. And they had been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And even though they had received the law of God 40 years earlier, during their sojourn in the wilderness, they continually failed to follow the law. And God kept them wandering in the wilderness to try and mold them, to try and humble them, to try and bring them to a point. Is this resonating with you? It does with me. To bring them to a point where they would have to rely on Him. And so after the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, He tells Moses, tell them again. Bring them back again. What happened to them? This is the message that God gives to them, gives to the people that He had rescued and saved from slavery to the sin and death of the Egyptian culture. What happened to them in Egypt? These are the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. These are the 12 tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob that came to Egypt because a famine has come in across the land. They were the covenant people of God. They were the descendants of Abraham who said, I will bless you and I will multiply you and I'm going to do it through your people, through your sons. And they go to Egypt and something went terribly wrong. Something happened to them. What happened to them? Like Tucker Carlson says to the psychologist, what happened? And God answers it. You know what happened to them? And what has happened to our generation? This is so contemporary. And what can happen to you? They had lost their humanity. While in Egypt, and in slavery to the sin and death of the culture, the dominant culture of Egypt, God's people forgot what it meant to be human. They were so beaten down by that culture and so enslaved to it. God saved them for a reason. He brought them out of that slavery for His purpose. What's the purpose? Look at Deuteronomy 6, 1-6. You want to know what your purpose is, God's people? Listen to this. This is the command, the statutes and ordinances the Lord your God has instructed me to teach you. Moses is saying this to them 40 years after they were saved. So that, circle that. Moses is about to tell them why you've been given the law. We need to know this so that you may follow them. How? Where? You may follow them in the land you're about to enter and possess. Enter and possess. Not just enter. It's easy for you and me to enter the land, isn't it? Because you're in it. and I'm in it. They weren't called just to enter the land. They were called to enter it and then possess it. And the way they were to possess it was how? Follow these statutes and these ordinances. And I'm reading here in Deuteronomy 7. God says to them, listen, he says, do not worship their gods when you go into this land. He says, don't worship their gods. He says, why? For that will be a snare to you. Isn't that the truth? So that you may follow them in the land you're about to enter and possess. Do this. Here's another so that. Circle this one. There's four so that's here. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life. How? What brings that fear? Boy, I have a fear of him. So that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all of his statutes and commands. I'm giving you, your son, and your grandson. And here's another so that. Here's another, circle number three. And so that you may have a long life. Prosperity and preservation. Prosperity and preservation. Verse 3. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them. Fourth, so that. You see, God through Moses is telling them. You know, sometimes I think we lose sight of that, don't we? We lose sight of that. These are the commands and ordinances of God, and I apparently were to keep them, and don't really know why. I guess God just wants to be a killjoy. But Moses says, no, here's why you do it. And this is why we do it. The fourth, so that you may prosper and multiply greatly. Got it? Why? Because. Why, God's people? Because Yahweh, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. The four so that's allow you, God's people, to enter it, to possess it, to tend it, to watch over it, to work it and watch over it. And God says to Adam, I'm putting you in the garden, and your job is to possess it and work it and watch over it. God's purpose has never changed. And from Genesis chapter 3 through March 4th, 2018, his purpose has never altered or failed or faltered. His purpose is still Deuteronomy 6, 1-6. He wants to reclaim. God is after the reclamation of your humanity and my humanity. He is after the reclamation of his good creation. And the way that which has invaded it is defeated is when God's people pay attention to these four so that's and keep his laws and his ordinances. You want purpose? It's saying, Israel, you better get your A game on. Because here's why, Israel, like it or not, Yahweh's going to do this. He's going to give you this land. And you need to be equipped. Or else you're going to muddle it up again. Remember we went through this thing at Horeb, and I told you all about this, and you didn't follow it. And then 40 years ensued where you weren't doing it. Now, Israel, this time I want you to get it right, because God says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to give you this land. And your job is to enter it and possess it and to be equipped to do that. You need to follow my law. Verse 4. God says, okay. I know we've been down this road before. He had the law before. Couldn't, wouldn't, didn't follow the law. So this is how you do it. This was always God's plan. What is God's purpose for our love for him? It's verse 4. Verse 4 and verse 5 of Deuteronomy 1 to 6. Well, actually, verse 4, 5, and 6 of Deuteronomy 1 to 6 are the way, is the purpose, is the means that Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 3 is carried out. Got it? I'll say that again, Tim. That was kind of confusing. All right. Deuteronomy 6, 4, 5, and 6, right there on your sheet, are the way, is the means that Deuteronomy 6, 1, 2, and 3 are accomplished. And what is the salient point there of 4, 5, and 6? What is it he says to them? Listen, Israel, how is your love for God? Have you worshipped their gods of the dominant culture? Because God says that'll be a snare to you. Listen, Israel. By the way, you're the new Israel. Israel's no longer... he's talking to Israel defined by race. You are the Israel defined by faith. Listen, Israel. This is who you're dealing with. This is who I am. I'm the Lord. I'm the one. I'm it. And this is what you're to do. This is how you're to do what I just said. You love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And these words that I'm giving you today about love and about following me and about being obedient, they're to actually be in your heart. See, God's purpose has not changed. The means to accomplish it have changed. But his purpose has not changed. Does this remind you of... verse 4, 5, and 6, did our Lord and Master put this succinctly one day? Look at the very bottom of your sheet there. Do you see a similarity there? You see this? You don't think Deuteronomy is important? You don't think Jesus knew Deuteronomy? Jesus is saying exactly what Moses just said. And here's what Jesus says. And here's what God says through Moses. If you love me, you'll find yourself keeping my commandments. You'll find that being a side effect. You'll find it happening. And Moses is saying that to them. God through Moses is saying, you do this by loving me. And it will happen. And Jesus said the same thing. He says, yeah, if you love me, it'll be a natural reaction that you'll find, you'll discover, you'll notice something about yourself. You're obedient. Don't put your emphasis on being obedient. Is that heresy, Tim? No, it's not. It's biblical. Here's where you put your emphasis. And Scripture screams it at us. Put your emphasis into the relationship. Put your relationship into loving God. Well, how do you do that? I don't feel like I love God. Repent. The Holy Spirit will bring it. The Holy Spirit gives you a love for God that perseveres against all odds. And along with that, the Holy Spirit brings you the enablement to do it. There's times in my life where I tried to be obedient. I put the cart before the horse. How do you do with that? How's it going for you? God's purpose here, as described in Deuteronomy, is to create this takeaway. His purpose is to create a people so saturated with love for him that they reclaim their humanity. What's happened to our nation? What's happened to the generation? What's happened? They've lost their humanity. They don't even know what it means to be genuinely human anymore. And God's goal is to create people, you and me, that are so saturated with this love that we regain our humanity and then humanity that had been defaced here by the sin, by slavery to the sin and death of the Egyptian culture. What happened to them in Egypt? I'll tell you what happened to them in Egypt. There was no mention of their God in Egypt. They were forced to worship the gods of the land. What's happened? What happened to them? They didn't even remember what it was like when they left the tents of Jacob and sojourned to Egypt. And the prodigal son loses his love for his father, travels to a distant land. And what happened to him in that land? Remember? He forgot what it was like to be a son of his father. His purpose to create a people so saturated with love for him that they reclaim their humanity that had been defaced by slavery to the sin and death of Egypt, and then by extension, they were to reclaim God's creation. Do you see what God says there in Deuteronomy 7? He said, I'm going to use your love and obedience, and I'm going to heal the land. Crops and cattle. I'm going to heal the land. When you reclaim your humanity, you're going to work it and watch over it. You're going to tend it like was always our mandate. And then I, God, will take that and I'll heal the land. When you regain your humanity, by extension, creation regains what it was always created to be. No, that was then, Deuteronomy. What about now? That's Paul, Romans 8, 28 and 29. I think that's on your sheet also. Oh, gee, Tim, are you going to talk about this again? Yes, I am, and I'll tell you why. And I told Teresa this week, this is the verse that should have every one of God's people on their face before him with gratitude and giving him glory. Do you see what Paul says here? Do you get this? The purpose hasn't changed. The means to accomplish the purpose has changed. We know that all things work together for the good. How you today and tomorrow are going to enter your land. You're part of God's land that he's given you dominion over. You are going to enter it. Your workplace, your home, wherever. You're to tend that garden. Work it and watch over it. But you're not just to enter it, are you? That's easy. I can enter my work tomorrow. Easy. You know what the hard part is? Possessing it. Owning it. Having reign, rule, and dominion over it. That's what God calls you to do. Because the purpose of God is still, Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 6, that's still the purpose. It's his purpose for you. What a tremendous gift this verse is. That because for the good of who? Of those who love God. And if then, Paul says, if you love God, your garden, the part of God's creation that you are responsible for, your garden will be perfect. Will be shown to be perfect. Rough hew it as you will. Wow. How can I keep from singing? Like the hymn says, how can I keep from singing? Because, well, I've muddled things. I was given a garden and I muddled it up. No, Paul says, no. I would say to you, do you love God? Then your garden's not muddled up. Because he promises us this. He promises us. Work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Well, what's his purpose? Deuteronomy 6:1-6. If you love him, Paul says, two things are going to happen. You're going to be called to join his purpose, because his purpose is accomplished in and through your love for him. Is this clicking? Is this resonating? This is wonderful stuff. This is good stuff here. You're getting some good stuff. You know, I got to tell you, Spirit's here. Spirit's doing this. Thank you. You're going to be called to join his purpose if you love him. Because if you don't love him, you're not going to be able to follow his laws and ordinances. It's impossible. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So love me. Love me. And you will keep my commandments and my ordinances, and you will possess the land that I put you in. I'm going to be in a land tomorrow. You are too. Now, there are some days that I own it. I possess it. I'm reigning, I'm ruling, I'm having dominion. You know what I tie it to every single time? I've got a white, hot, fervent love for God. There are days, to my shame, there are days when I don't. I'm just simply entering it. Big difference. So two things will happen. You'll be called to join his purpose, and what else will happen to you if you love God? Well, you'll be conformed to the image of his son. See, so here's two things you want to circle there. Well, circle three things. Those who love God and put called according to his purpose and conformed to the image of his son. You, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's descendants from Egypt, you reclaim your humanity. What's happened to us? And the prodigal son signs on with the far country. What happened to him? And he remembers. Remember this, the turn in the story there? He remembers what it meant to be genuinely human, a son of his father. I'll probably be censured by the black helicopters with this, but you know what? Government has censured. We aren't allowed to tell people what it means to be genuinely human anymore. God's law that spells out what it means to be human has been expelled. And then they sit and they debate and wonder, what is going on? Why do we need to do this, brothers and sisters? Why? Because just like God said through Moses, he says at the end of that Deuteronomy verse 3, he says, you should do this because the God of your fathers is going to give you this land flowing with milk and honey. Now listen. We do this because God, Yahweh, has also promised us a land flowing with milk and honey, and we need to be equipped. You're going to inherit the earth. That promise is immutable. Paul says that in Romans chapter 4. He says, the promise given to Abraham and his faith descendants is that they would inherit the world. At the end of the book, Revelation chapter 22, God says from the throne, he says, the victor, with a sweep of his hand, and the new creation has just been exposed. Don't you? You know, I soak myself in those passages. Soak yourself in that. And he sweeps his hand at the new heaven and new earth, and he says, the victor is going to inherit this. You see, that promise that he made in Deuteronomy is metaphorical for the eventual promise of the new heaven and new earth. It's exciting. It's good stuff. And the language that is going to be spoken there in this land that you're going to inherit and is the language of love. And you better start practicing that now so that you're fluent in it later. Vika. I don't know if Inga had to do this. You know, we have, what an eclectic family are we? I don't know where that came from. But anyway, I believe are you a citizen of okay, so, but Vika, okay. When Vika, she's a citizen of the United States. But in order to do that, it took orientation. Here's how you're going to get this. She had to learn about our country and about our laws and about our customs and about our ways. She had to learn that. And she had to pass a test, I think, to do this so that she is able to assimilate and function in the United States. See the analogy? You see, we are going to, Vika, in a sense, was going to inherit the United States. We are going to inherit the new heaven and the new earth. And we need to take the citizenship class. Because there's a different way that things are running in this yet-to-be-revealed land. And we practice it now, and we learn its ways now. And we find out that we reclaim our genuine humanity when we love him. Because what happens here is love of and for God is powerfully transformative to us and by extension to God's creation. Struggling with that? Transformation seems to be elusive, and you're trying to be transformed? Love of God. Paul says, those who love God are conformed through that love to the image of his Son. And then, as image bearers, they're set loose into this country, and they enter it, and they possess it, and by that they reclaim the land. See, we've been saved. Here's the analogy with us in ancient Israel. And look, you and I have been saved from the sin and death of the culture of the world. Like, they were saved from the sin and death of the culture of Egypt. You've been saved from the sin and death and slavery. And you know, watch that, because the slavery to this world is so insidious, isn't it? It's just so insidious. So we've been saved from slavery to the culture of this world for a purpose. And that purpose starts now. And that purpose is only accomplished when you love him. You see, God's purpose is accomplished for us when we love him. We reclaim our humanity. We are conformed to the image of Christ. It's powerfully transformative. And when we love him, that happens. And God's purpose is accomplished for his creation through our love for him. Got it? We're transformed by our love for him. The wider world is transformed through our love for him, because we are now conformed to the image of the Son that he loved, and we go, we enter it, and we possess it. Has your humanity been defaced? You know, again, back to Tucker Carlson and the psychologist. The psychologist said they don't even remember. You know, I think of my kids, and Teresa and I grew up in a completely different world. And they don't even, my boys don't even remember, I don't think. We were, side note to parents, boy, we were strict with them. Tori. But we held the line on the stuff that would have, do not worship gods, do not worship their gods, because that will be a snare to you. Parents, you got to watch this. The psychologist said, they don't even remember what it means to be genuinely human. He didn't say those words, but that's what he meant. If you love him, you will be conformed to the image of his son. If you love him, you will keep his commandments. It's a reflex of love. If you love him, your home will change. Because you're going to be following the ordinances and statutes of God, and you will enter your home and you'll possess it under the auspice of God's commands. You'll interact differently with your environment. You'll interact differently with with God's creation if you love him. Prosperity and preservation as defined by God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you would rekindle our love for you. Drop that love into our hearts, in and through the Holy Spirit's work. Amen.